Father, we love you, Lord, this morning. Thank you. Because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Lord, you love us so much with what we might call excess love. So amazing. Everything about us you care about. Whether it's little, whether it's big, whether it's high, whether it's low, you're always there. And we give you praise and give you glory. We thank you because we are part of the kingdom of God. And you've gone all the way. You say it is finished. You established us, even from your thoughts for us. And we pray that we will be an expression. Oh yes, a manifestation of the glory of God, even in our age. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you as always. The entrance of your word brings life. Hallelujah. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try that one more time. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Let's see if we can clap for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Yaro coming live to you from GMI Church. We are live in Phoenix, and we are happy that you are here with us. God bless you this morning. I want to talk about, making the old new and the new better. Amen. Praise God. I am continuing on the Kingdom of God series that I started a couple months or so ago before I traveled. So today I'm going to read first here in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to read verse 52, the last verse. This is the last, not the last verse, but close to the end. It's about, I think that chapter goes to 58. But here is verse 52. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bring forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, you might never have considered this scripture, but Jesus was talking about the parables of the kingdom in this chapter, chapter 13 of Matthew. Many parables, some of which I will talk about today. But I'm starting here almost at the end of the series of parables in that chapter, where he said, after he said all these things, he said, look, every scribe, what did those scribes do in those days? Well, they wrote, the testimony, they wrote from the mouth of the prophet or the seer or whoever. They wrote all those things, But he said, look, every scribe, so these scribes were used to the writings, They were used to the writings. But, and they used to write the writings in the old days, or the writings of Moses, the writings of all the prophets, and all these things that they wrote and so forth. But Jesus comes in the scene here. He brings something new. And he said, look, those of you who are even skilled in these writings, when you are instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, then it's something different. It's like, all of a sudden, you find things in the house which you didn't know were there. You're now able to bring forth not only old, but also new. And I want to talk to us about Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Spiritual maturity demands that we take what was there before and build on it, not throw away. There are some things, that are no good that we need to do away with. But the things that are good, there are some treasures that were old, but then there are also new treasures. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would put that up for me, please. We're talking about in verses 1, in this chapter, we're talking about, adding to our faith. He said, look, you need to add to your faith. Let me read to you here. Besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. This is 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, you need to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, what things? Well, if you add to your faith virtue, if you add to virtue knowledge, and if you add to knowledge temperance, and if you add to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and if you add to godliness brotherly kindness, and to that you add love, then he says you shall never fall. For so, and listen to this, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in this kingdom series that I've started to talk about now for some time, we want to examine, I started by talking about the parallel or contrast between the church and the kingdom. And I try to bring the understanding that, some people might think that the church is the kingdom of God, but not. The kingdom of God, the establishing of the kingdom of God is the purpose. And the church is the agency of bringing about that purpose. Now, so we talk about some parallels. The parallels in the message that the church has been preaching, church in general, and we try to parallel that to the message of the kingdom. Just a quick summary on that, church message in general over the past decades or thousands of years or whatever you may think, hundreds of years, has been focused primarily on, if you give your life to Christ, you go to heaven. Kingdom message, on the other hand, is more than go to heaven. Because, as I pointed out, that in John chapter 17 and verse 15, Jesus prayed the Father and said, Father, I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them in the world, but keep them from the wicked one. And I pointed out that if the purpose was for us to just go to heaven, if that was the end game, it's just go to heaven, then as soon as we are saved, we will be in heaven. But that's not the case. Praise the Lord. How many people are born again in the house? Let me see your hands if you are born again in the house. Praise the Lord. Well, why are you still here then? If you're born again in the house and you are still here and you are not yet in heaven, it means that God has a purpose for us right here. Amen. And there is a purpose. The last few weeks when I was in Nigeria, I was preaching on this process. That there is a process, from the time that we're born again unto that. And we should not forget what's in the gap, And sometimes we forget what's in the gap. And we just focus on, what God is going to do in the future. But I want to bring our attention to these parables. I am going to be teaching on the parables of the kingdom. The parables of the kingdom. And with these parables, we're going to get a better understanding of the message of the kingdom. Remember, Jesus spoke a lot about these parables. And in fact, the Bible said that without a parable, he did not speak to them. He said, I will open my mouth in parables. And he just spoke to them in parables all the time. And I've often said that, look, some of the way that Jesus preached, he didn't always come out and preach with great words that nobody could understand. Grammatical words, theological words, and all kinds of big things that nobody can understand. What good is that? He always used simple, natural words that everybody could understand. He talked about the sower, he talked about seed, he talked about treasure, he talked about net, he talked about fish, he talked about leaven, he talked about corn, he talked about stone, bread, house, water, rain, and all these things. They just use natural language. But packed inside those parables are a lot of messages. You know, so the mysteries of the kingdom are actually packed inside those parables. So what I'm talking about today is that, look, there was the old and there is the new. But we don't necessarily need to throw away all of the old. We can make the old new and make what's new even better. You know, this is the message of the kingdom. You know, in some cases, Jesus would say, look, you know, he came to change some things. He would just juggle things around, you know, scatter things around a little bit. He would say, look, you have heard that it used to be said this way, but now I say unto you this way. And it seems as if he was just, you know, tossing some things out. But then he would turn around and say, look, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, you know. But in fulfilling it, he took it to a higher level. Hallelujah. Took it to a higher standard. You know, in the past, you know, maybe if somebody slapped you, you're supposed to slap them back. Well, Jesus came and said, well, that's no longer any good. Now, if they slap you, you turn the other cheek. My. Yeah, that's a tough thing, you know, to do. And then he said, look, you have heard that it has been said that this and this and that, but I say unto you, it took definition of, you know, adultery and these things even to a higher level, you know. He said, look, even when you begin to lust after someone, in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So he took it to a higher level. Now, but it doesn't mean that we throw away the old. Remember, we're building on the foundation. You know, some people come into knowledge and understanding. They say, well, I know all these mysteries now. And then they throw away the basic things of the gospel, you know, like love and righteousness and meekness and temperance and all these things, you know. No, we can't throw those things away, you know. So we're not trying to be mystical or mysterious, but we're trying to bring the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, let me go back to the parables of the kingdom. So, the parables of the kingdom are to help us to bring forth out of the treasure that we already had, and sometimes that we don't know that we had, things not only old, but also new. Because that's what Jesus is saying here. Every scribe that's instructed into the kingdom, those scribes, it means they were there before, they didn't have the correct instructions about the kingdom. So let's go back to these parables. When Jesus sent the disciples out, he began to tell them, go and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. We cannot be preaching that message today, that the kingdom of God is at hand. The message today is different. We're already in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Jesus was introducing it then. That was 2,000 years ago. It's not at hand anymore. You know, we're already here, you know. But what is the message of the kingdom? What are the things that we're trying to understand? Well, you know, in chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus opened his mouth and began to talk about the message of the sower, which many of us know. The message of the sower. A sower went out to sow the seed, cast some seed on the wayside. Some fell on thorns, some fell on stony ground, some fell here, some fell there. And some fell on good ground and brought forth 30, 60, 100. So we know these parables, you know. And then when he finished these parables, the disciples came unto him privately and asked him, why is it that you speak to the crowd in parables? So this is the one I want to read to us, because I'm going to be concentrating on these parables the next few times that I speak. You know, so the disciples came to him, verse 10 of Matthew chapter 13. And say, why speakest unto them in parables? And this is the answer that Jesus gave. Because it is given unto you, that's you, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. You know, so with this simple answer that Jesus gave, we find out that, you know, it means that those mysteries are embedded inside those parables. You know, and those parables, a parable is a truth that is played out in plain view and yet hidden. That's what the parable is. Jesus will say it in plain view, with ordinary English language, simple words, it's out there, but yet they can't understand it. So Jesus began to explain it to them. And this is the critical part. You know, when a person, listen to this. He said, well, before I go there, he said, for whosoever hath, verse 12, to him shall be given. Now, this is the message of the kingdom. It's different than what we think in our head. This is the way the kingdom works. Kingdom says, whosoever hath shall have more. But he that hath not, even from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's a kingdom message. The reason is this. Because those that have, they keep coming back to get understanding. That's why they actually have. The disciples came to Jesus to get an understanding. That's why he put it out there to them. But the ones that heard the message and didn't come, because they didn't understand it, the devil comes and picks it up. So Jesus says this, you know, therefore I speak unto them in parables, because that seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the parables of Isaiah, that by hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull, and so on, you know, and lest at any time they should be converted and should be healed. You know, so because they wouldn't hear, so God made it sure that they didn't hear. You know, and because they wouldn't understand, then they wouldn't understand. You know, so. Now, but blessed are your eyes. Hallelujah. And your ears. Your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. And you know, Jesus, he rejoiced in the spirit. He said, Father, I rejoice because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. In Luke chapter 10, when he sent the disciples out, and they came back and said, oh, devils who are subject to us. And so Jesus said, don't worry about that. But rejoice because your name is hidden in heaven. And then in that same hour, he rejoiced in the spirit and said, Father, I thank you because you have hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent. And as I like to say, look, God hides these things from the wise, and God hides them from the prudent. But he reveals them unto babes, for such is seemeth good in his sight. That means you cannot engage God by human wisdom or human intellect, but the wise and the prudent don't understand these things. But God gives them unto babes. Now, this parable of the sower, that's the one that we're kicking it off here. And Jesus gave it. He began to explain it to them. He said, look, hear the word of this parable, verse 18. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Now, that's the word of the kingdom, not just some random thing. You know, when anyone hears this message of the kingdom and they don't understand it, what happens? The enemy comes and catches away that which was sown in their heart. This is the one that received the seed by the wayside. Jesus explained it right there. So understanding is very key. When you hear the message of the kingdom like this, it is important to understand it. If you don't understand it, then the enemy might come and even catch it out of your heart. Now, but how do you then get understanding? Well, in all that getting, the Bible says get understanding. You know, so we got to seek the Lord. We got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, explain to me what that meaneth, you know, just like the disciples did. And then Jesus began to explain all the various aspects of the parable of the sower. And you've heard the parable many times, you've read it, so I'm not going to belabor that parable. But at the end of that parable, he talked about the place, so I'm not talking about two parts of that. The one that did not understand it, So the enemy came and plucked it away. There's other ones also, the chaos of this life, the, you know, deceitfulness of riches, you know, and because they didn't have any depth in their heart, you know, persecution made them fall away. There's so many of them. But then at the end, there is the good one also that fell among good soil. And the good soil brings forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. Praise the Lord. And I used, you know, in another series, when I was talking about the transformation series, I used the temple symbolism to explain the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold. There's a progression in the things of God. You know, there's a process to these things, you know. The only one that was an instant son of God, as we know it, was Adam. Adam was an instant son of God. But the rest of us, the story is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. That's it for the rest of us. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So when the child is born, from the time the child is born until the son is presented, there is something going on there. And did Jesus exemplify that? He was born as a child. Nobody heard very much about him except once when he was 12. Then he went away until he was 30. Nobody knew anything. And then all of a sudden he comes out and he's now presented, because now he's ready. And the father says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And he presents him to all. You know, so there's a process there. And the process for us today, to help us understand that better, we have to dig into these parables. Because Jesus is explaining many of these mysteries. He said, inside these parables are the mysteries of God. And it's not given to them, but it's given to you. So inside these parables, there are these mysteries, and we've got to figure out what these mysteries are. But if you are able to figure it out by the grace of God, now you become like a scribe. That is like a householder. A householder is somebody that owns a house, you know, or is the manager or in charge of it or whatever. And out of that house, he's now able to bring forth treasures new and old. Well, the old was there before, but the new is now there. Now he can bring forth both old and new. You know, you can get the best of both worlds. You know, so, you know, if all you knew, you know, if all you knew before was just, you know, there were some disciples that knew only the baptism of John. That's all they knew. You know, they were faithful with that, you know, and so on. Somebody like Apollo, who was a great preacher, he only knew certain things, but he was faithful with it, and he was a great preacher too. But that's all he knew. You know, but when people like Aquila and Priscilla would take him aside and show him more perfectly this way, then he began to know even more. You know, so doesn't mean throw away what you knew before. It means you add to it. You build upon it, you know, and so forth. In technology today, we have a thing that's called MVP. Now, that's not most valuable player. You know, MVP in sports means most valuable player. But today in technology and what we call agile technology, that MVP means minimum viable product. In a minimum viable product, you start with a baseline, and then you build on top of it. Now, you never at any time throw it away and start over. See, this is the way design is done these days. You come out with some. If somebody comes out and says, I need a minivan, you know, that's the goal. You don't have to start with a minivan. You start with the, you know, what we call the drivetrain. You just put four tires there. You put something there to move it around. You give it to the guy. You know, it works. You know, maybe you can move around. Nah, it doesn't work too good. It comes back. You build a little cabin on top of it. Maybe the cabin only has two seats in the front and then a long bed in the back, right? So you build that. And then you say, well, you know, and then he drives around for a while. And then, no, it's not good. Okay, then he comes back again. Then you put, you build it into a caravan, you know. You know, it has the cargo space and all of the, you have to visualize these things I'm talking about. And then after a while, he comes back again. And you add some more windows and some more seats and so forth. But at no point in time did you throw away the base and start over. See, the design that throws away things and start over is long gone. You know, these days we take something, give you what's the minimum viable product, and we build on top of it. And we'd never throw it away. We get it next time. We put something else on top of it. Put something else on top of it. And put something else on it. So technology today, they don't throw away, you know, Microsoft and all this. They don't throw away what they're doing. They may come out with Windows 10, come out with Windows 15 or whatever. Doesn't matter. They don't throw away the kernel. They take some of that stuff, use it again, and put some more stuff, add features to it, and add this to it, tweak it a little bit, and just keep making it better. They don't really throw it away and start over, you know. So we don't need to throw away what we already knew unless it was completely wrong, you know. If it was completely wrong, then throw it away. But if it was good, you know, like this scribe, he already had some good things. He just needed a little bit more. Like Apollos, he already knew some things, just needed a little bit more. You know, like sometimes all we know is this thing, but we need a little bit more, you know, so. And that's where these parables come in. Here are some other interesting parables in this chapter. You know, there are many of them. In this chapter, you find the parables of the tares and the wheat. In the tares and the wheat, let them both grow together. What happened? The good man sowed good seed in his vineyard. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among them. And then in the morning, his servants got up and saw the tares had grown, sprung up among, you know, they can't tell apart, you know, and said, didn't you sow good seed? Where did all these tares come from? And he said, well, an enemy has done that. Well, should we then go and pluck up the tares? He said, no, because when you are trying to pluck up the tares at the early stages, they look very much alike, you know. Grass looks like the blade of the corn when it's just starting out. You know, they just look too much alike. Just leave them alone. You can't tell them apart just yet. But let them bring forth their real fruit. You know, remember the message that the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, seed which a man put in the ground. It grows of itself. You don't know. It's Mark chapter 4. You don't know how it grows. I've preached that here. But first, you know, what happens? Well, you have this thing called the blade. It springs up. It looks like grass or Bahama grass. We used to call it in those days. It looks just like that, you know. And then the next thing you know after that, it's in stages. Then you have, you know, the air, you know, comes up. And then the next thing, the full corn, you know, comes up. You know, so it's in stages. But you leave them alone until harvest time. At harvest time, their true colors are there. You can't tell, you can't mix them up anymore. In the beginning stages, they look all alike. Today in the church, everybody's all alike. You know, it's just mixed up in there. You know, everything's mixed up. Even people come in, you know, I've been on Clubhouse and some of these places where, you know, everybody's an apostle, everybody's a prophet, everybody's this, you know, and so on and so forth. You can't even tell apart, you know, the true gift. You know, there's divination going on. There's all kinds of things going on. It's all mixed up in there. And Jesus said, let them both grow together. At the end, because at the end, you know, their fruits will come out clearly. Praise the Lord. And then you can see. And then you have to say separation. And Jesus went on and said, look, the kingdom of God is even like a treasure that a person found. And when he found it, he went and hid it in a field. Then he went and sold all that he had in order to purchase it. Now, there's not a single parable of these parables of the kingdom that explains all the facets of the kingdom. Jesus just used one parable to bring out one side and one parable to bring out this side and so forth. In another one, he said, look, some of the parables are good stuff, but some of them are not good stuff. In this same chapter, I talk about the parable, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, a woman that took 3 measures of milk and took a measure of leaven, mixed it all up. That's not a good thing. Leaven is never a good thing. Leaven is like hypocrisy. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he was talking of hypocrisy. So that particular parable, which is in this chapter, is not a good one. But he's saying the kingdom of God is like that. You take some good stuff, mix up some bad stuff, until the whole thing is all messed up. Because an enemy has done that. You know, so the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is also like a mustard seed. You know, and there are gems in these messages. It's like a mustard seed that somebody plants. At first, it looks like a little seed. There's nothing to it. Then the next thing you know, you know, it grows to become a tremendous tree. And it brings, you know, I mean, all the birds of the air are perching on it. That's not also always a good thing. There's all kinds of birds. There are good birds. There are evil birds. So, you know, when that tree becomes good, you know, and big, all the birds of the air, that's not always a good thing. There's all kinds of mixed things in there. But you go back also to Daniel chapter 2, you see that kingdom started out as a little thing. It looked like a stone that was cut out of a mountain without hands when Daniel was giving that dream, that interpretation. It was also Daniel's dream because he dreamed it again, you know. And first it was by Nebuchadnezzar. And then he saw that little stone that was cut out without hands. After a while, it became a giant mountain. And it filled the whole earth, you know. But it started out as a little thing, you know. And then the next thing you know, that same stone struck that image and shattered it to pieces. And the interpretation was that in the days of those kings, God will set up a kingdom. Hallelujah. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break and destroy those who and stamp the residue down, break, shatter them to pieces. Hallelujah. Now that's the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of iniquity, or mystery of iniquity as we walk in the nation. So you see, there's a lot of parables. There's yet another parable that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 25. Actually, many parables there, at least a couple. Matthew chapter 25 talked about the kingdom of heaven is like unto somebody, bridegroom that's trying to get married, virgins and so forth. You know the story. 5 were wise, their lamps and extra oil. 5 were foolish, took lamps and no extra oil. You know, and so on and so forth. The morale of that story is, be ye also ready. So, there's various aspects of these parables bring out various things. But this particular parable in Matthew chapter 25 of, you know, the 5 foolish and 5 wise virgins, if you want to analyze it the way some people analyze some of these parables, it looks as if there's almost 50% that will not make it. That's a big number. If 50% doesn't make it, 5 versus 5. But, you know, it's not about the analysis of that and that. The moral of the story is, therefore, be ye also ready. Because in an hour, because when the bridegroom finally came, you know, those who were ready went in, and then the door was shut. And those who were not ready, they came later and said, I don't know you. It's too late now. You know, so that's a parable. You know, so for every parable, there is a moral of the story. There's something to be learned of the story. It's not just about dissecting. Sometimes Jesus dissected it and gave it to us. You know, like the tares and the wheat, he dissected it. He said the field is the world. The one that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. He explained it all. You know, when the harvest is the end of the world, the reapers are the angels. And he explained it all. But some parables, he did not explain. He just put it out there. You know, so if he put it out there and he didn't explain it, it's all for the taking. Anybody can try to figure it out, you know. But only the Holy Spirit can bring the revelation. Hallelujah. Because the parables are given so that people will not understand. But some people will understand. So you can't just figure it out except the Holy Spirit brings it. Now, in all of these things, the message of the parable is to make you become like that scribe that is instructed into the kingdom, that now you not only have the old things which you used to have, You also have the new things. So we're now, you know, the message is to make the old new and to make the new even better. You know, this is the message of the kingdom. Now, what are some of the old things? Well, I've already talked about it. Some of the old things are the way we used to preach the message. You know, we need to refine that. You know, there is a purpose on earth for us to do here. I explained that last time when I was speaking here in the book of Judges chapter 9. There was a time when all the trees of the field went to look for a king over them. They came to all the goodly trees, the vine, the fig tree, the olive tree. These are the good trees. Come and reign over us. And every one of them gave some lousy excuse of why they can't do it. Some even religious excuse, like, should I leave my wine and my oil that makes man and God to be happy and then go to be promoted over the kings? Should I leave the work of the ministry and then go and do this and that? You know, just like Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, you see the message of the kingdom in reverse that is put out there. Because somebody came to Jesus and asked him a question. Who? Because Jesus said, you know, he said, what is the great commandment and all these things? He told him some couple of things. And he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the man, trying to justify himself, said, who then is my neighbor? And Jesus told a story, you know, to illustrate the point. How many of you know the story? It's called the story of the Good Samaritan. That's what we call it these days. But in that story, there was a group of religious people called the Levites and the priests. They were there. See? But they left the wounded person like that. And we don't know what their problem or their issue was, but it's kind of like this one. Hey, should I leave that I'm going to right now and then go to care for this wounded person? No, I don't have time for that. I got to go do this religious thing. I got to go. See, this is the thing. When I was started on the series of the kingdom and the church, I was talking about, you know, people, some people think that fulfillment of all the kingdom is just inside the local church. No. And you think that once you come to church service, then that's it. No, it's a lot more than that. That's part of it, you know, but there is more, you know. So the Levite wouldn't do it. The priest wouldn't do it. They didn't have time for the wounded person. See, because that's the old church way. The kingdom way, hallelujah. Amen? The kingdom way is get off your high horse. Come down already. Bind up the wounded person. Put some oil. Bind up their wounds. Take them to the inn and take care of them. Hallelujah. That's a kingdom message, you know. So, but we can have the best of both worlds. We can have the best. The best of both worlds means you bring out of your treasure things both old and new. Not throw the old away. You make an improvement on it. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying today? Here's what I've said. When a person is instructed into the message of the kingdom, now, you're going to have to stay with me in this series of the message of the kingdom. It cannot be preached in one service. It cannot be preached in two, maybe not even three, however long it takes. But it is something, just like when I was doing the transformation series, was something the Lord gave. And this now is something the Lord has given, because I see the importance now as it is given out in Matthew 24 and verse 14. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 14. He said, now this gospel of the kingdom. Can you put it up? Is anybody in the back showing the scriptures? Matthew 24 and 14. Well, I know what it says, but just for the benefit of the people. For this message of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. See? Now, analyze this text. For this gospel of the kingdom, not just any kind of preaching, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And I said before that, look, if we really want the end to come, then we need to start preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, and I've wondered, I mean, people have been trying to get the Lord to come for 2,000 years. I mean, Paul has been saying, the Lord is coming. We which are alive and remain. 2,000 years ago, we are here. All of us are talking about it. The Lord is coming. Some of us who are a little bit older, some of the younger people may not know this. But in the 70s, 50 years ago, we all were saying, the Lord was coming. You know, and everybody said, the Lord is coming. Some people even left school. They said, I'm not going to school anymore. The Lord is coming. I got to do this. I got to do that. 50 years ago, they were saying that. You know, the Lord is coming. You know, but the people who were saying in the 70s then, what were they doing? Were they preaching the message of the kingdom? Not at all. They were just doing some crazy stuff. The Lord is coming. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go marry. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Is that what? This message, this gospel of the kingdom, you want the Lord to come? We better start preaching this gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because all the world, now not just some random message, not just message about prosperity and all these other things which people are preaching. That's not going to bring the Lord's coming. No. But the message of the kingdom. And we've got to figure out what it is. And so help me God, I will be bringing it. You know, the message of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness. You know, and we are preaching it now. We're preaching it here. We're preaching it on Clubhouse. I went to Nigeria. I preached it. It's going all around the world. This message of the kingdom, because the end is close. But we got to bring the real message of the kingdom. Praise God. You know, and if you are still confused about it, you can ask me later. But, you know, there's a lot of things that the message of the kingdom is not. You know, there are some things that people thought the message of the kingdom is. Well, there are a lot of things it is not. It's way beyond just the local church. It's way beyond what we think about ourselves, you know, and so on. No. Jesus, in fact, in Luke chapter 4, I believe verse 45 or so. You know, the people so much liked what Jesus was doing. Let me just read it to you and then we'll start to wind down here. The people so much liked what Jesus was doing. You know, okay, Luke chapter 4 verse 43, you know. But before I do that, you know, let me read the two verses or so before then. Devils came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and so forth, you know. Let me start at verse 48. And now when the sun was setting, they had any that were sick with divers diseases and so on. They brought them unto his hand. He laid his hand on them and healed them. He healed them. And devils were coming out and crying out and so forth. Thou art the Christ, and so forth. And he rebuked them. He rebuked them. He suffered them not to speak. Because they knew he was Christ, you know, and so on, you know. And then when he was there, he departed into his other place, and the people sought him. They saw the miracles. They saw the loaf and the bread and all these things, the fishes. They saw all of these things. They sought him. They tried to constrain him to stay there, you know. They said, look, the people came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from there. Stay with us. Even like Paul, Peter and the rest of their name? James and John. Let us build a tabernacle here. Let's just be here. Because this is a great place. You know, we've seen Moses. We've seen Elijah. We've seen the glory cloud. We've seen this and that. Let's just build a camp. Let's just stay here. Just say, no. Let's be going. Hallelujah. We need to go and do some things. We're not going to just set shop here. People wanted to have Jesus set shop here. They said, oh, just stay here with us. Jesus said, no. Verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. You may not ever have thought about it that Jesus is actually declaring his purpose of why he was sent here in this verse. Some of us, you know, there are other scriptures that we read that make us to believe that Jesus came for other reasons. And all those reasons are true. If you think that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, it's true, because the Bible says so. You know, John 3:16 and all that. So it's all true. But in this one here, he's also telling us one major reason why he came. The major reason why he came, say, I've got to preach the kingdom. This is the reason why I was sent. In this place, he's not talking about dying. He's talking about, this is the reason I came, is to preach the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, to rest my case, let me say it this way. When God declared unto Adam that he should have dominion, and Adam fell, I've said this before and I'll say it again to the people that are here or listening today. It was not heaven that Adam fell from. In case you haven't considered that, Adam was not in heaven. In fact, he wasn't there. We have no record that God took him to heaven, you know, at the time that he was created. He was created on the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For a purpose. The purpose is contained, I believe, in Genesis chapter 1. He told them to have dominion, to dominate the earth, to rule the earth, to bring the earth into alignment, bring all things in order. But they didn't do it. After God did that, you know, I said God wasn't tired. That's not the reason he took rest. You know, one of the things I said was, he had reached the peak of his imagination. There was nothing else to imagine, because he imagined himself. So he's done, a created man. But the second reason is now the one I tell you today. The second reason is that after God created man, now God has somebody in charge. See, let him do as he pleases. He's got this. Adam's got this. Let him do it. I'm going to be preaching, Adam, where are you? Maybe next time. You know, but, you know, God said, Adam's got this. I'm done. You know, so that's one of the reasons why he ceased from his labors, because now he's got somebody to take charge of business. And he took charge for a business for some time. God brought him all those animals, and God just stayed back. Whatever you say goes, Adam. Praise God. Does that give you a picture of dominion? Whatever you say goes. Whatever you do goes. This was the plan. It wasn't that Adam should go to heaven. That's not the plan. The plan was rule the earth and subdue it and bring it into alignment. Hallelujah. And we have to do that, folks. We have to do it. The whole creation is waiting for it. It's waiting for the sons of God. Where are the sons of God? Are there any sons of God in the house? Let me see the sons of God. Let them stand to their feet. If there's any sons of God in the house, let me see the sons of God. Are there any sons of God in the house? You know, we're always looking for the sons of God. Where are the sons of God? The whole creation is waiting for the sons of God. There was one son of God. He came in. He turned the whole world. Till today, everybody is talking about him. History is named after him. He started with only 12 disciples. But look at all he did. And look at all these sons of God that are here. And this is just one small gathering. Imagine all the world where all the people that claim to be sons of God are. Where are the sons of God? Where are we? What are we doing? What are we doing? Let me read this to you before we pray. Psalm 115. Just remain standing for a minute. Psalm 115. If I can find it. And I'm going to read, I think it's verse 15 or verse 16, I don't know. One of those verses in there. So let me see if I can find it. Okay, so Psalm 115, and I think it's verse 16. It talks about the heaven of heavens belong unto the Lord, right? But the earth has he given. Children of the Lord. Yes, Psalm 115, verse 16. So, Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to us, you know, the children of men. So that was the plan. The plan is that God was going to rule this earth through the children of men, which was Adam and Adam's lineage. But Adam fell from that dominion. So ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, the restoration that Jesus came to do was not to take Adam to heaven. But that's not the place from which Adam fell. Restoration, bringing in the order of the kingdom of God, was to take Adam back to the dominion from which he fell. And Jesus was demonstrating that dominion by walking on the seas. By, you know, there's thousands of people to eat. There's no problem. Jesus didn't care because he had dominion. All he needs is a couple of loaves and two fishes, bless it, feed thousands. That's dominion. Do whatever you want. Create. Hallelujah. This may sound a little bit outlandish, but let me tell you this, and this is the prayer that we want to pray today. That God will give us understanding. See, God doesn't want us to always just be asking for things. You know, I will explain this more maybe next time. The things, asking God to do things which he wants you to do yourself. That's not it. God wants us to do things. You know, it's kind of like Jesus taking sleep in the boat when the storm was coming. Jesus wanted the disciples to take charge, but they couldn't do it. You know, so God wants us to take charge. And this is the prayer I want you to pray today. Hallelujah. I want you to pray and say, Lord, give me understanding of this role, of this great responsibility, this tremendous responsibility that you have placed on. Remember, of the increase of his government, there shall be what? There shall be no end. And the government shall be what? Shall be upon his shoulders. Now, Jesus is the head. He's not the shoulders. You and me are the shoulders. Hallelujah. The government shall be on his shoulders. Jesus is the head of the church. He's not the shoulders. The shoulders is the church. And we are the agency that are supposed to bring this earth into alignment. Hallelujah. So this is the prayer I want us to pray today. And I want us to begin to refine our prayers a little bit. Bring out of your treasure things old and new. Instead of always saying, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this, you know, let your prayer be refined a little bit. Pray this way. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says what? Be anxious for what? For nothing. But in everything by what? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the next verse, see, this is the secret. The next verse did not say that, and God will answer all your prayers. No, didn't say that. The peace of God, we pass his understanding, all understanding, even in the midst of the storm and everything like that. You know, God will make you bigger than the storm that's around you. God doesn't need to quench the storm. God doesn't need to stop the storm. God doesn't need to take care of the little problems that you are facing. God will develop his grace in you. The grace of God in you will be bigger than the problems around you. The peace of God that's inside you will overshadow the problems around you. And God will just step back and say, Yatos got this. Yes. Ebu's got this. Yes. Julius has got this. You got this. Because God gave it to you. You didn't get it on your own, but he gave it to you. Praise God. The devil usurped it and told Jesus, all these things are given to me. No, you usurped it. These things are given to the children of men. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and pray. If you have any understanding on the things that I have said, pray that God will give you even more understanding. That you will enter into the realm that which God has called you to. Where are the sons of God today? Why are we always futuristic? Why is everything still waiting? Where are the sons of God?
Where are they?
You all stood up. You all said you are the sons of God. It does not yet appear, but you already are the sons of God. But we got to make it appear. It's our job now to become like the Christ. That's our job now. Let them come into our image after our likeness so that they may have dominion. We must come into his image. We must come into his likeness. We've been trying to do it our way, the religious system way. That's the old way. Now, as you learn about the kingdom, bring things out of your treasure, both old and new, and come into the image and the likeness of God. From glory to glory, he's changing me, changing me. Praise him, come. Changing me into the likeness of God and his son. He's changing, changing me. He's changing me. He's changing. He's changing me into his likeness eternally. Into the glory of God and his son. He's changing, changing me.
He's changing me.
He's changing. He's changing me into his likeness eternally. Into the glory of God and his son. He's changing, changing me.
From glory to
glory.
Dominion starting today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My wife knows I've been preaching this message. So, you know, now when I see a rat and I say, there's a rat, she says, but you have dominion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Dominion. Have dominion. Even around your house. Things around. We're not supposed to dominate other men who are also in the image of God. Amen. That's the church message. You can throw that one away. Kingdom message is to dominate works of his hands, not the children who are in his image. You know, so you dominate. Is anything going wrong in your house? Your garden is not growing like you want? Have dominion. Speak to it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Things are not functioning in your house. Your garage door open, it's not working. Have dominion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you might say, well, you know, this. Well, that's up to you. You know, take it or leave it. But I tell you what, there shall nothing be impossible to him that believeth.
Amen.
All things are possible to him that believeth. If you don't believe, that's your choice. But all things are possible to him that believes. And if you can only believe it, if you can only believe it, anything is possible.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, we don't want you to go outside the word of God doing crazy things, but within the realm of God's word, he has given the earth to possess.
Amen.
Lift up your hands and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our fellowship today. We thank you for the message of this hour. We thank you for the inspiration of the word of God in our hearts. That when we are now instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, we become like a scribe. And we become like a householder that can now find not only old things that were there, but we can also find new things. And Father, Lord, thank you for the old things in our life that are being made new. Amen?
Amen.
Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. I thank you for the new things that are being made better by the message of the kingdom. We give you, Lord, all the praise, and we give you all the glory. As we go from here today, teach us, Lord, to exercise dominion in the realm of the Spirit. But first, help us to learn how to come into the image and the likeness of the Christ, to be like him, to be like you, Lord. That's all we want. That's all we want, to be just like you. And Father, we thank you, and we give you all the praise and give you all the glory. And if there's anyone that lacks understanding concerning this thing, the Lord, if you go to him, he will open your understanding plain. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.